To those of you who are joining us in the virtual service today, only one mic goes to the camera, so here we are. I'm glad that you've come, and I have with me Jesse Bohannon. Jesse is one of the missionaries that we support here at Cayucas Community Church. Her parents are now a part of our church family. Her grandparents were a part of our church family and now a part of the Heavenly Chorus. And we are delighted to have her back to share with us how God has been working in Eswatini, we'll get it, and then a bit of just how God has been working in her life. So welcome, glad to have you.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here this morning with you. What a lovely, wonderful day to be praising the Lord. Amen? It is so wonderful. We get to gather together, and we get to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We get to raise our praise to Him, submit our lives to Him, renew, and it's just so wonderful to be able to do that together. So I'm so happy to be here with you guys in person, and with those of us online, we're so happy that you're here this morning. My name, again, is Jesse Bohannon. My grandparents were Lois and Bill Rourke, and my parents, Ted and Lisa Bohannon, here. This has been a church I've tromped through when I was in diapers. And so it's always fun to be able to come back and see everyone's lovely faces. I've been in Eswatini, Swaziland. The country changed its name a couple years ago from Swaziland to Eswatini. I've been there for 13 and a half years as a missionary nurse. It has been such a journey. I arrived there in 2008. I was 25. I was a nurse, and I got thrusted into being a bush doctor in charge of a bunch of children and their health care. It was at what we now know as the changing point of the AIDS crisis in Eswatini. At the time, the highest life expectancy rate was 30 years old, with 34%. People of the population HIV positive. Today, the life expectancy is 65 plus with 27% HIV positive rate. So we've made some really big leaps and bounds. But in the middle of this, what I really want to, this morning, I'm really excited because I get to share a testimony of God's faithfulness. I get to share a testimony of His goodness, of just his greatness, because I have experienced it, and I know you have experienced it too. He is faithful and He is true no matter what. And I was a young kid in Africa, and Africa was my catalyst of trusting the Lord. It was my catalyst of being so out of my element. It was either I melt in a puddle on the floor and stay there for a while, Or I just fully pour myself out to the Lord. So this morning, I want to start us off with Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, because this really has been a verse passage that has been my heart's meditation. For years, I've been chewing and chomping on this Jeremiah 17, because it has become so relevant. I've seen it walk out in my own life. It starts with Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8, through the NCV version. It says, "This is what the Lord says. A curse is placed on those who trust other people, who depend on humans for strength, who have stopped trusting the Lord. They are like a bush in a desert that grows in a land where no one lives, a hot and dry land with bad soil. They don't know the good things God can give. But the person who trusts in the Lord will be blessed. The Lord will show Himself that He can be trusted. He will be strong like a tree planted near waters." The message says near the Eden waters, "that sends its roots by a stream. It is not afraid when the days are hot. The leaves are always green. It does not worry in a year when no rain comes. It always produces fruit. What has been so encouraging and challenging and convicting about this Jeremiah 17 is I have been the man who's trusted in me. I have been the man who's trusted in man's word. I've been the man who's trusted in man's strength. And it says, who has stopped trusting the Lord. When I've stopped trusting the Lord and I've started to trust in my own ability and my own strength, I find myself rootless. I find myself in a place where I cannot see the good things of God. Not because the good things of God are not there, but because I'm not in a place, I'm not synced, I'm not anchored, I'm not rooted and thirsting after the living water that God brings. So when I find myself trusting in the Lord, He says he shows himself. He can be trusted. He will prove himself. And so this has been my journey. And this has been the thing that I've learned. I can stand here and testify of the faithfulness of the Lord. That when I continue day in, day out, the last 2 years, I've had a lot of opportunities in choosing to trust the Lord. Have you guys? The last couple of years have been really rough for us all. I have sat paralyzed in fear in my house. I've pushed myself out even when I was afraid of going out in public, of this thing COVID that we didn't quite know about. But I walked out because I was being obedient to the simple voice and calling of the Lord. And I said, you said when I trust you, you will show yourself to be trustworthy. So I'm going to dwell in you. I'm going to sink my roots deep in you. What's funny is that the man who trusts in man and the man who trusts in the Lord, right? They're both in desert. They're both in a dry land. It's not that the one who trusts in the Lord isn't in a dry land. He's in a dry land. But because his roots are deep in the Lord, they bear fruit, even in the year of drought. The green leaves stay green even when the day is hot. It is that glowing testimony. A little bit later, I'll be reviewing and going through Isaiah 58. It says, when you take care of the poor, when you clothe the naked, when you feed the hungry, your light will shine like the noonday sun. Your light will shine in the darkness. Your light will shine not to the darkness. Your light will shine in the darkness. We will be walking dark roads. Psalms 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This is the testimony this morning that I get to share, that I get to stand here and say that Christ in me is the light that shines in the darkness. And he is the same light that shines in you in the darkness. Because there are thirsty and hungry people who are walking through the desert and see a green tree with fruit and are wondering, how is it that you're having fruit? Why are your leaves green? And then you get to say, because my roots are in him. And you too can have this opportunity to trust in the Lord. This is the testimony. It is so great. Me living in Eswatini as a missionary, I say I'm no greater than anyone else because I've simply been obedient to what the Lord has said. I've just simply obeyed to his simple and radical ways. It just happens that my obedience has led me to the dusty roads of Eswatini, to the sugarcane fields and the squatter camps, but you too can live this life of abundance when you root yourself in him and listen for his voice, because he says he will speak to you. He will make sure it can be found. And you too, wherever you're at, can live the same life of abundance. Eswatini, Africa, you can see the little dot in south, surrounded around South Africa. We are the size of New Jersey, about 1 million people. We are of one people group, the Swazi people, the Swati people. And you can see the couple areas that we provide healthcare. Up north, you can see that big circle and the little gold circle. That's where our clinic is. And then you down south, we've just opened a clinic this year in the southern part. You can see a little heart, and that's where I've just moved so that I'm more centrally located between our clinic sites. It is amazing. We are covered 2/3 South Africa, 1/3 Mozambique. As I was saying earlier, Eswatini has the highest HIV rate in the world still today, though 13 years ago in 2008, it was 34% HIV positive. Today it's 27% HIV positive. We provide over 500 people with HIV management, us little four-nurse duo in our clinic. You can see HIV is still a really hot spot in the southern African regions. We're seeing great change. But what we're seeing change in knowledge of treatments and medication, but it is lifestyle that is for all of us a big challenge, right? So this is where Jesus comes in, because I believe I can't change the way I am without the help of the Holy Spirit and of having Jesus in my life. So we get to do medical help with discipleship. So the Gudvumisa Foundation is the foundation that I'm a part of. Our vision is bringing life to the marginalized, the impoverished, and isolated with the love of Jesus through medical outreach and economic development. This is the coolest part of what we get to do and what we as followers of Christ get to do. The point for us at the end of the day isn't necessarily medical treatment, nor is it economic development, but these are the platforms we get to get into people's lives. We get to see health improve. We get to see them getting money to be able to provide for their families. But we get to disciple and to love people right where they're at so that they know the life that comes from knowing Jesus. Our health mission is providing access to Christ-centered, quality, compassionate health care. We do this by representing Christ well and treating each person with dignity and respect regardless of anything. We are well known in our areas. We're in farming communities. We're in sugarcane company industry. So there's a lot of squatter camps with no electricity, no running water, no toilet systems. We are well known with the wife beaters, the alcoholics, the witch doctors, the women selling their bodies to provide food for their families. These are the people that are our neighbors and our great love. And these are the people we get to do life with. And it's so exciting when a witch doctor brings their sick child to the clinic, because that means we've built relationship. We've built trust. And at every moment, we get an opportunity to share the love of Jesus through our actions and our words. There was this one time, this is not my everyday, granted, but I was in the clinic and I was seeing people, and this woman came in and she told us she was a devil worshiper. And I was like, all right, great. And what are you here for? Well, how can we help you? The long story short is that she had done witchcraft and rituals that she believed she was healed from her HIV infection. So she had been off of her treatment for 2 years, and now she's in full-blown AIDS. And she had come because the witch doctor told her she had COVID in her lungs, and he had captured it. And she's not symptomatic, tested negative for COVID, but that's what she needs treatment for. And I looked at her and said, well, you know, you are right. There is a virus in your body. It's not the COVID virus. It's the HIV virus. And we are here to help you with that. We can test your blood again. We can educate you. We can counsel you. We can get you on treatment once again. Because you, my love, are really sick. And you are dying. And also, I do understand you. We both know you have a spiritual condition. And you've been searching for it. You've been searching for answers at the witch doctor. And you've been performing these rituals. And you are right. You have a spiritual condition. But the enemy has come to still kill and destroy you. And you, my love, are being destroyed. But Jesus, he has come to bring you life in abundance. And fullness. A fullness of love and joy that you don't have. And you are thirsty and you're looking for. And I said, but it's up to you. This is your choice. If you're here, we'll help you every way we can. No matter what your decision is today. But we're really glad you're here today. We're going to help you with your medicine and treatment. But if you also want to talk more about your spiritual condition, we can do that too. And I just love this amazing opportunity to be able to meet people right where they're at, to build trust and love, to bring quality, compassionate care in places that are forgotten. Our two clinics is in the Mapiveni Clinic up north, and our Sihau Clinic is down south. In Mapiveni, we've been at those communities for over 13 years now. We have been providing mobile health for 13 years to over 30-plus communities. But it is also, in the last 2 years, amazingly, the month COVID became an international issue, our clinic building opened up. And so we've been able to start treating people there. We have a doctor, a Zimbabwean doctor, who comes 2 days a week to provide doctor-led care. And we provide 5 days of nurse-led care. Because there's such a great need for doctors, nurses provide health care like nurse practitioners. And so we're used to assessing, diagnosing, and prescribing medications. We've all been certified in the country for HIV management. And so over a team of 4 nurses take care of over 500 people's HIV management. We also have a dental clinic that is built in the basement, and we're trying to get a local dentist to be able to come. Our Sihau clinic is seeing up to 80 walk-ins per day, and we are providing health care for 3 farming companies. It's part of our way of bringing self-sustainability, is that the companies of these farms of sugarcane and bananas, they have upwards of 500 to 1,000 employees with no health care plan. And so we've stepped in and we're able to provide health care to a certain level and degree for these employees, for these companies. And so it's part of how we've been able to get money for salaries for our nurses and our counselors, and for just the logistics of running clinic. Our mobile outreach, you can see this is the Bolero. It's the hatch pops up so you can stand up in the back. We've got the Beast, which has 2 bellies. It's got 2 rooms that we can provide healthcare in. So we're in 30-plus communities up into the mountains and sugarcane fields. The population we're covering is 25,000 population, and we're probably reaching about 1,000 a month. In the outreach, in addition to the clinics, that buildings, our goal and our heart is to reach the isolated, the marginalized, and the impoverished. This last year, through some God-ordained steps, we ran into Mercy Air, who is a mission organization out of Switzerland, who has an aviation base in South Africa, and they provide a lot of medical and evangelical outreach to the Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Zambia areas, and they're starting to do a new base in Eswatini. At the farm I actually live on is where we hope that they will have their future in. And so we've been able to provide healthcare through the helicopter. What's incredible, you can see the helicopter in the back. We have a little gazebo with a big cloth that we wrap around. We make four rooms. We have pharmacy on grass mats. And we're able to see, the last time we did the helicopter ministry with Mercy Air, we saw over 200 people at two sites. It took us about 25 minutes in the helicopter, which would have taken us 6 hours in our Bolero, in our mobile, because of the rugged mountains and the rocks. And so it's just amazing. They also have a vision and heart to reach the isolated, the marginalized, impoverished. And so we've been able to create a partnership together to be able to do it. Helicopter clinic ministry. It's pretty exciting. Just so funny, I had been joking about a helicopter for a couple of years because I was tired of all the potholes, goats, chickens, and cars. Because I commuted about 2 hours a day for 5 years, four days a week. And so we ran into them, and I was like joking with them about it. And he's like, well, yeah, we can go Thursday. And I was like, wait, what? So that's been such a blessing. During COVID, we opened our clinic the month COVID happened, which is just incredible. We've been able to register a lot of the community and our elderly for vaccines through the government. The clinic numbers have gone up like crazy. The government has provided HIV COVID testing kits, and they identified us as a COVID testing site for the communities because we're centrally located. And so we test COVID in all our waves. And we're provided kits by the government for that. Also, COVID has not been our first pandemic. We do the HIV pandemic. We've been in tuberculosis. COVID has been hard and bad, but the hardest part is the government with the country being shut down. That makes it very hard for people to get food. Because you're not able to go and do a job, a day job, to get enough money to pay for food that day. You're not able to cross the country. There was a 20-minute strip of road that I would often travel that took me 3 hours with all the police stops during the peak of COVID. And so we were finding grandmas going out into the forest collecting bark and berries, eating three-day-old rotting food. And so we started providing food packs to the most needy at this time. We find that there is more movement now. People are getting the food that they need. But there was a time where people were really struggling with food. So we were able to meet that need. This is what kind of the sugarcane outreach looks like. Our sugarcane is cut down by hand with machetes. So this is what the beast with two bellies. We also do days for girls, washable pads. A lot of our girls, when it comes time for their period that month, they start searching the roads for plastic bags and for newspapers because they don't have the extra income and money to be able to buy the supplies they need. So we have sewing groups in America. We bring suitcases back to Eswatini. And we're able to gather a bunch of girls in a community. We teach them about their bodies. We teach them about health. We teach them about Jesus. And we hand out these sanitary packs. And they love them. And they're always asking for more. They wear them out in about like a year and a half, 2 years. So they're always asking like, hey, do you have some more for us? but it helps so that they're not missing school and they're not using unsanitary things. But it also, it's another platform for us to get into the lives of these girls, because these girls are at high risk for being vulnerable to relationships and situations, for being so desperate for simple things that they start selling their bodies for simple things. So we try to come in and be able to provide and help with those, with just simple necessities like washable pads. This is our clinic. This is our property. You can see in the top corner, you've got the commercial leasing development. We know as foreigners, we are here today, gone tomorrow many times, and that we want to bring sustainability to our property and to our clinic. And so we've been working on a commercial development of a gas station, a hardware store, and a grocery store, and that the leasing money would then pour back into the clinic, making the clinic funding sustainable. We also have the mission house or the guest house. Mark here up front did lots of tile cutting and actually trained about 6 or 7 Swazi guys on how to cut tile. And those guys now are running their own businesses, cutting tile and laying it in homes. So talk to Mark about the guest house and the tiles. And then you see the community clinic and education center. That's where the clinic is, the dental clinic, and the economic development center that we're developing. Economic development for us looks like crawfish from the canals that we sell at restaurants, sewing projects, which are someone locally, Jill, is helping us in the coming weeks and months to develop the sewing project. We have a shop that we're able to sell purses and things so that the ladies from Section 19 will be able to provide money for their family. We also do marula and moringa oil, which is lovely and delicious. It is in the marula fruit. There's a beautiful seed inside, and a local lady makes the lotions. Our property projects are the guest house. As we were saying, we're hoping to open the guest house this June or July is our goal. We also have commercial development that I was talking about that is still in process. We have a community water project. The community Mapivini, where our clinic is, they get their water from a river. And it can be really hard. A couple years ago, I treated a girl who got snatched by a croc. Her hand got snapped. She cupped her hand because her brother, her brave 12-year-old brother, beat the croc off with some sticks and stones. But by being able to have a borehole on our property and to have this community pipe with community rules, the community is now able to get fresh, clean water to be able to cook and clean with without having to risk the rivers. I'm also very much involved with a local church. It's called the Fellowship of God's Holy Place. This is a mission trip that we took to South Africa. The Lord has gifted us in poetry and singing and dance, and we love praising the Lord, and the Lord has given us giftings to be able to do a big camp every year with about 80 high schoolers, and just training them and discipling them in their giftings in music and poetry and dance. We do medical teams, so this next year we'll have a couple coming, and we'll be able to provide more health services just under a big tent in the community. This is me deworming a bunch of kids, school kids. This last year, we have had unrest, just like a lot of the world has. We have had unrest in such ways that the country was under lockdown, there were buildings burned, and there were loss of life. At the time that this was happening, we had an American team visiting. And that's really scary because there's just lots of unknowns. And the Lord really challenged me. He challenged us with prayer and with wisdom. We continued our planned outreaches. changed to the new regulations, but we were able to do 2 days of a women's ministry and a third day of handing out water filters. What was so amazing is that the women's ministry day, my nurses and my clinic co-workers, they led it. They led the worship. They preached the sermon. They called the altar call and they prayed over the ladies. And I just wept. As the rest of the country is in lockdown, not leaving their houses, we are praying over women and women are meeting Jesus and they're getting delivered. The third day we did a water filter and they called for a prayer. Anyone need prayer? 15, 20 men line up. Another 15 ladies line up. And one of the men that got prayed for that day is one of our community police officers. We know him well. He helps us in our outreaches. He's always drunk, tipsy drunk, somewhere around there. And he came to me that afternoon and he said, "Can you tell this man that when he prayed for me, there was a fire that burned inside of me? There's something. I'm tired of being a drunk. I'm tired of being ruled by alcohol. My friends are just no trouble. They're trouble for me. They're not helping me at all. I wanna change. Can you get me a Bible?" And I was like, "Yeah, bo babe, like, yes, sir. I will get you a Bible." I went to the grocery store the next morning. There was a Siswati Bible. And gave it to my African staff team to deliver it to him a couple days later, and it was in the afternoon, and he was sober. And my team didn't know the story and went to him and started poking and teasing, "Hey, Bobby, why are you so sober? You're all like, what's wrong? You're different. Like, what's going on? You're usually a little like deep in the bottle by now." And he started explaining, "This man prayed for me, and I want to change my life." And so every time I go, he comes again. He's like, "Here's my daughter. Look at this. I'm reading my Bible every day." And so it's amazing when the Lord does something amazing. Because we're all in that journey, aren't we? We are all in this journey that this Babe is in, of being convicted of the things of our sin and the things we are being held back by and needing the living word of God and him intervening on our behalf so that we can become new creations. And so this is what I leave you with this morning. Isaiah 58 says, "If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sin. If you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight." Now, many times you might sit here and say, "Well, you're in Africa. You meet real hungry people, right?" And that's true. And there's hungry people here in America and in this community. But do you know when you're talking to someone and you can just feel the hunger of relationship and connectivity? When someone, you can just see someone needs some love, some connection, that you can see they're hungering and thirsting for something. That's the same thing that they're talking about. Yes, let us meet physical hunger. But we also know that other hunger, that people, that can be so easy to dismiss or be like, "I just don't have time this morning. I just need to keep going." Take a moment, because you get to be light in the darkness. Start giving yourselves to the down and out. Quit blaming victims. Man, this is so convicting. Quit gossiping about other people's sin. This is us. But when you do these things, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. It says, I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places. Firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. Kind of like that Jeremiah 17, the man who trusts in the Lord. The Lord will show himself. He will be trusted. He'll be like a tree planted by the living waters. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubbles of past lives to build anew. Rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything. Restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate. Make the community livable again. For us in Eswatini and as Gudvumisa, this is a word picture of our property. It is rubbled. It is full of falling down buildings. But as we pour ourselves, Isaiah 58 is talking about, this is the kind of fast day I've called you to. It starts off, we've prayed, we've fasted, we've covered ourselves in ash, and we call out to you, but you're not answering us. And he says, well, you've not been kind to your workers. You're gossiping about one another. You are doing these horrible things, thinking that I'm going to hear you. But this is the fast day I've called you to. Clothe the naked, feed the hungry. Break the chains of those oppressed. Then your light will shine like the noonday sun. You will call upon me and I will hear you. I will answer, here I am. And it says, you'll use the old rebels of past lives to build anew. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild, renovate, make the community livable again. And in a very real way for us, I see this walking out before us of our property because of the rubble. And I see it becoming step by step in the struggles, and in the three steps forward and five steps back, that the Lord is doing something anew. And I know he's doing something anew in your life as well. You don't have to be in Africa. If that's what he's called you, come. But what's so cool about God is that you can go to the very heights and he is there. You can go to the very depths, he is there. It is where he has you planted. Are your roots deep in him? Even in this dry land and in this season of desert, bear the fruits of his spirit. Bear the fruits of his life. Because it's a light unto the world of a hope that we find in Christ. Thank you so much this morning for allowing me to share the testimony of his faithfulness. Pray with us that God gives us opportunity to tell his message in boldness, to declare the message of Christ, and to open the hearts for those to receive his gift and become children of God. You can get involved in prayer. We covet your prayers. Pray for us. Pray for the country of Eswatini, for the people, that God's kingdom would reign. Pray for wisdom and protection. You can get involved financially by giving to the organization. $15 a person is kind of the clinic fee. But you find that we charge $1.50 for the majority of people. It still costs us $15. So that is a financial need that we have. We have future hope for staff housing and our property projects. But also, if it is, come and serve. If that's what he's called you to, if there's an opportunity, come short term, come join our team. But there's so many ways you can get involved. Through prayer and finances and even coming. Thank you so much for this morning. I'm so grateful to be able to testify of his faithfulness this morning and of his goodness, for he is faithful and he is true, and there's no one like him. And I pray that you today and this week experience that same life that is found in Christ Jesus. Amen.